amazing. Can I just say that one time when we were doing the Hazeltine gift wrapping thing, I accidentally had a sip of Tiffany's coffee, and I can tell you, it was fun. it was great. But can we just tell you what an amazing, incredible privilege and honor it has been for us to be here this last year ministering to this next generation. We had the privilege of going to camp this last week, and the Holy Spirit moved. And I'm telling you, little 10-year-old girls were prophesying. Mm-hmm. They were seeing visions. Mm-hmm. Boys were, they were all praying for one another. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God was really, really moving. And mm-hmm. what an amazing opportunity is for us to be able to minister to your children. Mm. And so thank you so much for having us today. And I'm just going to pray for us. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, and we welcome you in this place. God, we pray that you would search our hearts, God, and that, Lord, you would begin to transform and change us, God, today. And we just give you all the glory, and we just worship and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we were preparing for today's message, we had the discussion about which fruit we are going to use as our illustration. And originally, we were going to use an apple because we thought that the correlation between us and the Father was a lot like the saying, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. But then we're like, we should go a different direction because, well, I'm allergic to apples, and we didn't think that having something that's supposed to reflect what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life be something that I'm allergic to would be a good illustration. So instead, we decided to go with a strawberry.
All right, so there's something unique about this fruit, strawberry here, that's unlike other fruit. All right, so if you look at it, the seeds are on the outside. Other fruit have seeds on the inside. Likewise, most parts of the fruit of the Spirit are expressed internally, gifts such as love, joy, and peace. However, just as the seeds of a strawberry are on the outside, kindness is one part of the fruit of the Spirit that is expressed outwardly. When you show kindness to others, it's an outward sign of your work.
So we're right in the middle of our series, The Fruit of the Spirit. And today we will be specifically talking about kindness. And as you've read in the text of Galatians 5, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when you get to defining each one, you'll notice that kindness, goodness, and gentleness are very similar in nature. So why did the Apostle Paul include all of them as separate parts of the fruit of the Spirit? Well, although they're similar, they're all necessary yet unique and different parts, you can get a better glimpse of their differences when we look at the original text, and we see that kindness can be a part of both gentleness and goodness, yet different in the sense that gentleness is best translated as meek and humble, and goodness is in doing what is right. But kindness is defined as having true and active consideration for others. It's choosing the shorter end of the stick for yourself and letting the other party choose the longer end of the stick. It's giving somebody the reward that you deserve at a price that you paid. And I can't think of any other better example to show you than that of God's kindness towards us in sending his own son, Jesus Christ. We'll be reading in Titus chapter 3. And we'll read verses 3 through 7 together. It says, "Once we, too, were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. There is no greater display of kindness than through God himself. It was he who first showed us great kindness in delivering us, washing our sins, and giving us new birth. There are a few things that we must understand about God's kindness. And the first is that God's kindness is an incredible act of mercy, and that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's kindness. Can I get an amen? Amen. We can't earn it. Every portion of the fruit of the Spirit comes directly from God. We can't develop it faster, like a Polaroid film, you know, picture. If you shake it, even though the box clear says to leave it alone and sit it in a dark place and let it develop, we can't shake it and make it produce faster. We can't purchase it, no amount of money. We can't create it ourselves, because then it would be fake. Now, can you tell the difference between an artificial fruit and a real fruit? See, it looks the same, but it isn't. Okay? Anyone in here have kids that have maybe accidentally taken a bite of some artificial fruit that was on display either in somebody's house or a restaurant? Anybody? I got a show of hand back there. Excellent. Now, how many of you are the kid that accidentally ate the fruit? Okay. All right. Thanks. And I mean, as an adult, you were that kid. Okay. I see you. I had one of the young adults text me right after first service. She's like, I'm guilty. I ate some. That made me laugh. So fake fruit, though, has no nutritional value. It's not good for anyone. It may be appealing to the eye, but if that's the only thing it's good for, it is worthless. We can all try and look good on the outside, but if the Holy Spirit isn't allowed to do the work on the inside, it's not beneficial to anyone. In fact, it is counterproductive to the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do, not just in you, but through you. Amen? So, because of Christ, we get to be, can you say that with me? We get to be recipients of God's kindness and acceptance. And because of that acceptance, we are called as believers to allow the Holy Spirit to produce in us the very qualities and nature of God, signifying, yes, indeed, I am united with Christ Jesus.
So let's talk about kindness in the original biblical text. Again, I'm going to read Galatians 5, 22-23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the original Greek word that's used in this passage is krestates. It literally means useful kindness. It can also be translated as goodness, uprightness, and gentleness. This use of the word kindness means to meet real needs in God's way. So I ask you, what is kindness? The type of kindness that's spoken of is not just a kind word or gesture to someone. It is kindness that's poured out by someone. Kindness is born of the Spirit. So our human energy, our effort, does not naturally produce kindness. It comes from God.
Amen.
Yes, people can be kind apart from God, but their kindness is impure and incomplete. It's just as Pastor Kristen said. Kindness is used here in Galatians 5:22 is the same word that's used to describe the kindness that God lavishes on us. How crazy is that? I mean, the kindness that God lavished on us is incredible, right?
Yes.
It was kindness in that he willingly gave up the life of his one and only son so that we could be brought back into relationship with him. I find it absolutely amazing that this meaning for kindness in the original text describes it as able to be displayed by fallen, sinful, and wretched human beings such as ourselves. And it's displayed in the same way that God displayed it for us. That's amazing to me. So how is it possible to have the kindness of God when we are so far from being like God? It's because this kindness is a supernatural kindness that isn't produced on our own.
Yes, thank you.
There are people that are truly kind-hearted. You may know someone, and they show love to others on their own because that's who they are. But that's not the kindness Paul is describing here. The kindness described in Galatians 5:22 is only brought on through the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. This same type of kindness is what the Apostle Paul described in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4-6, in which he praises kindness along with many other actions and gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to read. It reads, starting in verse 4, it says, rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love.
Yes. Now, Paul mentions the law several times in tandem when he's speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. And basically what Paul points out is that the law or works serves as a really great guide for us to point out our desperate need as humans of salvation, because God knew that we could never earn it on our own. And the fruit of the Spirit is to be displayed and attractive to point others to Christ. So the root word that Pastor Mike was talking about is the same exact word for kindness that Paul used in his letter to Titus. So Paul mentions the same fruit in Galatians to equip the church and how to live together as a body in unity, but uses that same vernacular in Titus to evangelize the crazy people over in Crete. And I'm saying crazy, but Paul said some other choice words that were not so very kind in Titus. So we can say that the fruit of the Spirit should be displayed both inside of the church for the church, but on the outside of the church for the outside. So after Pastor Tim had assigned the pastors on staff the different parts of the fruit, I know several of us pastors, we had questions about how he came to the conclusion of who's going to preach on which fruit. And can I just say, I'm so thankful that I did not get patience. Okay, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, but to be honest, at first I was concerned, because all that the Holy Spirit has done in developing in my life, I don't feel like kindness is necessarily something that I feel that I have perfected. And as we were praying for this week, and the Lord just kind of reminded me that nobody has perfected any of it, okay? Nobody has. And although I don't feel like I have been the greatest distributor of kindness, I can strongly say that I have been the recipient of great kindness. And so I'm really proud to say today that I have my parents here sitting down here. And if you take a, yay, Mom and Dad, woo-hoo-hoo. If you take a close look at them and you take a close look at me, you're going to notice that we don't look similar to each other. And that's because they showed one of the most amazing acts of kindness that a human being can show by adopting me as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Now, we may not all, yeah, I'm so changed in my life. Now, here's the thing, is we may not look alike, but I started noticing that over the years how much like my parents that I am. But that didn't just happen overnight. And there's a parallel there when we're talking about the process of developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's a process. A strawberry doesn't become fruit, from seed to fruit, overnight. It's not instant, okay? It's not instant perfection. It develops. It's the process of becoming more like Christ. So even when a strawberry reaches its maturity as a fruit, it still becomes more aromatic and more sweet as it gets older. So with age, it becomes more sweet. And I know that's at least true about me, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Amen. I hope so. Okay. Yes. So how many of you have ever seen the movie Forrest Gump? I love the movie Forrest Gump. And there's this part where Forrest Gump's friend, Bubba, is telling him all kinds of ways that you can use shrimp. Shrimp salad, shrimp kebab, all sorts of ways, right? Well, I feel like it's the same with strawberries. Out of all the fruit, strawberry is like the most popular, because you've got strawberry jam, strawberry ice cream, strawberry pie. Starbucks has a new drink coming out. It's a strawberry green tea. It sounds delicious. Anyways, you get the point. But like a strawberry, there are different ways that we can display the kindness of God by following in his example. The first is by extending forgiveness. In Colossians 3, it says this in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, another way of extending God's useful kindness, as I mentioned before, is having true and active consideration for other people by being winsome in nature, being a friend to others, like a kid named Josh Stevens. I was in my first full year of teaching at a private school in Las Vegas when I learned about this ninth grade boy, this freshman in high school, who had tragically died in a car accident. But what was amazing is that even after his death, his legacy lived on. And I have a short video for you to watch so that you can get to know who Josh was.
Josh Stevens Foundation.
Josh Stevens Foundation.
The Josh Stevens Foundation.
The Josh Stevens Foundation.
The Josh Stevens Foundation was created to honor Josh Stevens, who died tragically in an accident in 2008. He was a genuinely kind boy and shared his heart with his family, friends, and perfect strangers alike. His mission in life was to reach out to others, making them feel included, important, and loved. Following his example, the mission was obvious, to spread Josh's simple message of being kind.
The Josh Stevens Foundation's belief and mission has been embraced by schools, sports organizations, businesses, and even entire cities. It's creating a climate of kindness wherever it's embraced.
Being kind is the new cool.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama.
Family's way of honoring their son, killed in a tragic accident, has blossomed into a national movement to inspire kindness on school campuses all over the country.
I just think it's amazing what they've done.
Our objective, our ultimate mission in this foundation is for a child to recognize the magic, the gift that is received in the heart by the simple act of doing something kind for someone else.
And when you hate, you're bound to get outraged. Madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how
Josh's simple message of kindness is contagious and sweeping the nation. In fact, Be Kind shirts and Be Kind bracelets have been spotted all over the globe.
Dying, children hurt, and you hear them crying. And you practice what you preach, and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, Father.
Just being kind to everyone.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
Being kind like Josh is simple, but can have a huge impact on somebody. Whether it's opening a door or giving a big smile, you can change the world one act at a time.
You just remember what your old past said, or you got a friend in me.
Be kind!
Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Yeah. See, Josh Stevens was well known around his school and in his community as a friend to everyone he encountered. He had a genuine kindness towards other people. And because of this, a movement began and became the catalyst for many other campaigns, like for anti-bullying. And you could see how this one young man's kindness towards other has not only changed his family, it not only changed his school, it started to change his community. And for living in a place like Las Vegas that's known for being called Sin City, it started changing a city. Mm-hmm. You started seeing elementary school kids from every different school wearing these Be Kind like Josh t-shirts. And so you could see these t-shirts and the bracelets, they're still being bought around the world 9 years later. So I had heard about this, and as we were prepping for today, I had a hunch. That kind of kindness can only come from one place, but the media had not mentioned the source of Josh's kindness. So I decided to look up his obituary, and sure enough, it says this: Joshua loved his Lord Jesus Christ above all else. Above all else. And what amazes me is that this ninth grader, this freshman young man, probably had a better understanding of God's kindness than I did, and that most people do. And if Christ can include me in his inheritance, knowing that I have nothing to bring, then how can I withhold extending that same kindness to others who are in the exact same boat I'm on? And before Pastor Mike comes in and he closes with our last couple of points, my message to you today is to be kind, like Josh, who is like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there are two aspects of kindness that I want to talk about. First of all, Kindness is withholding power, the authority to punish, to discipline, to defend. So when I think of a great example of this in the Bible, I think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. If you don't know the story, this is the gist of it. A Jewish man is walking along a road and gets attacked by robbers. A priest is walking down the road and passes by him on the other side of the road, so as not to be bothered. A Levite, who was a helper in the temple, does the same thing. Then a Samaritan man sees the Jewish guy lying on the ground hurt and helps him. Now, if you don't already know, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. I mean, they hated each other. If you're familiar with Romeo and Juliet, the Samaritan was to the Jew as the Capulets were to the Montagues. All right, and then if you're not much into theater, I'm into sports, so maybe you can get this too, all right? Any hockey fans out there? All right, so the Samaritan was to the Jew as the Ducks are to the Kings. I've learned here in LA, you can't be a Ducks fan, so I'm not a Ducks fan. I am not. All right, you get my drift. So not only does the Samaritan help the Jewish man, he tends to his wounds, puts him on his own donkey, takes him into town to rest at an inn, all the while watching over him this whole time, and then gives the innkeeper more than enough money to take care of the man until he recovers. Talk about kindness. The Samaritan was already on his way somewhere to take care of his own business. He went out of his way to tend to this man's needs at the expense of not getting done what was on his own agenda. Not only that, but he helped a man that, had he not been robbed and they happened to pass each other on the road, the Jewish man probably would have had some choice words to say to this Samaritan. Yet knowing this, he had mercy on the man and showed kindness to him anyway. The Good Samaritan had compassion when he saw the half-dead man badly beaten by robbers. In response to that compassion, he showed compassion by going out of his way to minister to him, to clothe him, and to make sure that everything needed to make him well was provided for him. That's what being kind is about. It's showing mercy without expecting anything in return. And then another point about kindness. Kindness is also using your power to bring goodness to others. This reminds me of a story I heard the other day that I just had to share because it displays the meaning of kindness that we're speaking about today. So please bear with me. I cried in the first service, so get ready if it happens, but it's just such a touching story. All right, so there was this woman. She was walking down the road, and she happened upon a homeless man, and she felt compassion in her heart for him. So she walks up to him and says, "Hey, I want to, you know, can I buy you a meal?" Introduces herself to him, and he wants nothing to do with it. He's so used to people coming up to him and making fun of him that that's what he thinks. Plus, like I said, she was well-to-do. She was wealthy. She definitely had money, and he saw that she probably had never experienced the type of hunger he had in his life. And so he's like, "No, you know, I just had a meal with the president. I'm doing great." Just being sarcastic, wants nothing to do with her. And so she continues. She goes over to him to pick him up by the arm to help him up. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And then a police officer comes over and, "Ma'am, is everything okay? Are you all right?" And she's like, "Yes, I'm fine. I'm trying to take this man with me to that restaurant across the street." So before he knows it, the officer's on the other arm helping him up, and he's like, whoa, hold on, I did nothing wrong. Like, leave me alone." And he's like, the officer knows this guy. He's seen him around for the last couple years. He knows him as Old Jack. And he's like, "Old Jack, come on. This lady is trying to do you a solid. She's trying to get you a meal. It's good stuff, so just take it," or whatever. So finally he says, "Okay." So they help him up. They help him into the restaurant, get him into a booth, and as he sits down, and as they sit down, the manager comes over, and the manager's like, "What's going on? Is he in trouble? What can I do?" And the lady's like, "No, I just want to get him a meal." And the manager's like, no, that's bad for business. It looks bad, you know. And so she says, "Hey, you have that banking firm down the street that comes in here quite a bit to do business, and And he's like, what's it to you? Yeah, they come in, you know, once a week and have their meetings. You know, and she's like, you know, you make a lot from that? And he's like, you know, what's it to you? And she says, my name is Ms. Eddy. I'm the president and CEO of the company. So, of course, the manager's like, zip, done. And so she turns to the officer and says, would you like a cup of coffee? And he says, yeah, you know, that'd be great. So the manager runs off really quick to get a cup of coffee. And when that happens, the lady sits down and looks at the man, the old man, and says, do you recognize me? And he says, yeah, you know, you look familiar. So she sits down and starts to tell him a story of a time when she was down and out. She was just out of college, came to the big city trying to find a job and couldn't find anything. There was nothing for her. And so she'd been kicked out of her apartment, had nothing left, was on her last dime, and just came into this restaurant just looking for a meal. And she wasn't even looking for a free meal. She walks up to this man and says, can I work for food, please? And he says, I'm sorry, it's against company policy. And so she turns and begins to walk away, and he tells her to go sit down at a booth. And as she does that, he makes what she describes as the biggest roast beef sandwich she had ever seen and gives her a cup of coffee. And she's just blown away by this, that as she's about to eat her sandwich, she thinks, wait a second, this man just told me that he's gonna, you know, he could get in trouble for this. And so she turns to see, just as he's putting money from his own pocket into the cash register to pay for her meal. And she, from that moment, she's just blown away. She ends up leaving that place, finding a job the same day, an entry-level job, works her way all the way from the bottom to the very, very top, where now she's the president and CEO. And as she's telling the story to this man, she's just blown away. And then it doesn't end there. She says, because of the kindness that you showed me, I want you to go down. I'm going to call my human resource manager, let him know that you're coming for a job. And I want you to go down there. He's going to give you a job, something easy, something you can do. And not only that, but I'm going to make sure that he gives you an advance so that you can go get some clothes, so that you can get a place to stay. And he's just blown away, and he says, wow, I can't thank you enough. And she says, no, don't thank me, it's God. It's because of what God did through you, through your heart, through your kindness, that I'm able to bless you now. It's just amazing. And so she walks out, and the officer, they walk out of this restaurant, and the officer has this cup of black coffee in his hand, and she says, I'm so sorry, officer, I forgot to ask you if you take cream and sugar in your coffee. And he looks at her and says, you know what? I usually take way too much cream and way too much sugar in my coffee. But just because of what I just saw happen, this coffee I know is going to taste the sweetest of any cup of coffee I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And that story just literally brought me to tears. You watched it, because it shows true kindness. So there's two acts of kindness that I want to point out that happen in here. The main story is about a woman helping a homeless man get back on his feet and get off the streets. However, that act of kindness was from, you know, because he had been kind to her, she wanted to repay him, and she happened to see him, and God brought them back together again to do this amazing thing. But what really sticks out to me is that the kindness the man showed toward the woman when she was on the streets herself, that's the one that sticks out to me the most, because he showed her kindness when he allowed her a place to get out of the cold. And not only that, but he took his own money, years later, he's homeless, so he wasn't rich. He took his own money out of his pocket to help somebody. And because of that act of kindness, her life was changed. In closing, I want to leave you with this. Kindness aims to do good in a way that is gentle and mild, in a way that is sensitive to the needs of people. True kindness is surrounded by love and seeks to bless others by doing good to them. This is the kindness that was displayed to us by our Father in heaven. This is the definition of kindness as found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is the kindness that we are called to display to others.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for your kindness, first and foremost to us, Lord, that you gave your one and only Son, that you lavished your love upon us so much that so that we could be brought into relationship with you, Lord. And I thank you that your word, Father God, explains, shows that when we show kindness to others, Father God, it's as if you're, it's just as important as when you lavished love on us and kindness on us, Father God. And so I pray, Father God, for each and every one of us, Lord, that you would help us to be kind in every aspect of our lives, Lord. That you would help us to become more kind. It's a work in progress, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you would work it, Father God, that you would help us as Christians, Lord, to be kind to everybody, Lord. And that you would help us all, Lord, to be kind, Lord, like Josh, Lord, a young man, a ninth grader who was kind to people. And because of that, he's literally changed the world. Changed the world for you, Father God. So I thank you for that, Lord. Help us to be kind.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.